If you've been with us for Christmas Eve or last Sunday, you know that we've been in this Luke gospel story for our Christmas setting this year, telling the story of the arriving one, Jesus, who was born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And so on Christmas Day, Christmas began. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, has arrived. And every Advent season, we say that Jesus arrives again and again to renew and heal perhaps weary, but hopefully always longing hearts that we have. So, as I said earlier, we're still in the season of Christmas, the sixth day of Christmas. And in these parts of the Lucan story that we've heard today, I want us to note this posture and perspective of Mary. Back in Luke 1, verse 19, we would have read that all who heard were amazed. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And that was right around the birth of Jesus. And now, in today's story, 12 years later, we read in verse 51 that Jesus' mother treasured all these things in her heart. And so I think this refrain is a good cue for us as we journey to the end of the calendar year. We look ahead to 2019, and what a better place to do it than in the house of the Lord. God's house, the temple of the Lord, a place that we call sanctuary. I want to move to the table because you'll see that I've kind of scattered the creche this morning and maybe made it a bit different in terms of the story. Next week, we'll talk about the Magi who were coming from the east. And I put the shepherds kind of going back to their fields and Joseph bidding them adieu, adieu to you and you and you. And then Mary front and center with Jesus. Because I thought we could linger with Mary today. And perhaps treasure and ponder and wonder in our hearts what it means for this arriving Jesus to be in our midst. So we'll call it a Christmas contemplation. And so I thought, let's set up a couple of trajectories for us. Maybe as we read this story about Jesus, 12 years old, we become familiar with this idea that Jesus was like us. Jesus was like us. Dawn was kind of hinting at that Jesus was like us. And this Lucan passage is the only story that we read of Jesus being somewhere between being born and 30 years old. And so why does Luke include it? And maybe he includes it to say, hey, Jesus was like us. He was a 12-year-old. He was a teenager. He was in his 20s. He toddled. He went to school. He maybe broke out with acne. But as a 12-year-old, he was also quite the religious keener. And when his parents lost him, and part of that lost him story, just to broaden it out a bit, how in the world could they lose him, was in this time, first century Jerusalem and area, families might have traveled to festivals in big caravans of people. So it's quite possible that Jesus' mom and dad thought that Jesus was with auntie and uncle so-and-so, and it took 20 or 22 hours for them to realize, whoops, he's not with auntie so-and-so. We better scramble back and go find him. So it's not outlandish. Mary and Joseph weren't being irresponsible, but it was in that season, in the way that they traveled in those days, it is possible that someone could get lost in the mix. So they find him, and they find him sitting among the synagogue teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus was like us. He knows how it feels to be human, and that's good news for us. Whenever I think about Jesus being like us and being kind of in that 12, 13-year-old age, I think about this song that we're going to play a portion of, Boy Like Me, Man Like You. It's on the inside of your bulletins, the lyrics on the right-hand side, and we're just going to play a couple of minutes of that song and kind of get you in that mindset of how Jesus is a lot like us. You can look up that song on YouTube if you want to hear more later. But hopefully that's good news as we read today's story and reflect on that Jesus was like us. But I also want to say, as we reflect on this and ponder with Mary, that Jesus was not like us. And that is also good news. And just to kind of help us flesh this one out, here's a picture of me when I was 12 years old. You can pass a few of those around. Because I was thinking about that this week. I was looking at my 12-year-old self thinking, I don't think I would trust that dude. And if he was roaming around our church, spouting off how smart he was and how theologically thoughtful he was, and all these insights back and forth, I don't know that we would say to that 12-year-old boy, wow, he sure is amazing. I can't believe the things that that young man is saying. Let's promote him to deacon, or maybe even assistant minister soon. And so I was thinking, isn't it good to know that Jesus was like us? But isn't it also good to know that we're not like Jesus? There was something happening with and in and through Jesus that was otherworldly. And I like how Luke includes this part of the story in that he's showing, kind of giving that pre-heads up, foreshadowing that Jesus is going to astonish, amaze, perplex, and confound time after time after time. And so we see it here with his parents. They find him, and of course they interrogate him and wonder where he's been for the past 72 hours. But they're also perplexed at his maybe adolescently tinged, angst-filled answers. I don't know how you read his response, but did you not know? No, I'm not sure if it was that sassy, but did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And so we're introduced to this pattern and this motif that we'll see chapter after chapter in the Gospel of Luke, that those who follow Jesus will be confounded. Those who follow Jesus will be perplexed. Those who follow Jesus will not get it. And we even read of Mary and Joseph, they did not understand what he said to them. So lest we get too comfy with Jesus as our homeboy and our buddy, and hey, he's just like us, everything's great. At the same time, Jesus is not like us. That's good news. As the prophet Isaiah puts it, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. So Jesus is like us. He's familiar with our dreams and our hopes, our struggles, our disappointments, our hearts aglow or our hearts are breaking. But thanks be to God, Jesus is not like us. This one who companions with us also brings a presence and a power that's out of this world, that confounds the structures and the universal rules of our world even. And yet Jesus still longs for us to abide with him, to believe in him for matters of life and hope and healing. So I want us to linger with Mary and perhaps give you maybe just 60 seconds to wait for an invitation as we reflect on Jesus being like us. Maybe that's the part of the story that draws you in today, or maybe if you are drawn to that part of the story where Jesus is not like you and you recognize your need for Jesus, for us to sit in this sanctuary in the temple of the Lord and contemplate how Jesus might be inviting us to embody our faith because of these ponderings. What's that invitation that we might receive as we treasure and ponder and allow for Jesus to speak to our hearts through the presence of the Spirit? I'm going to give us 60 seconds, and for some of us that might feel like it just flashes by in a nanosecond. Some of us that's going to feel long, but I want us to try and be still, to wait for the inklings and the first steps of what Jesus and the Spirit might be inviting us to as we ponder and treasure Christ in our hearts.